Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa. Today's show is an interview with a dear friend of mine and Fitfluential ambassador, Dutch DeGay. Just to give you a little background on Dutch before I give you a preview of what you'll hear, Dutch is a former Army Ranger who, after suffering a career-ending injury, turned to an unhealthy lifestyle. He used exercise and the power of a very positive mental attitude to get himself back on track and shed over 90 pounds. He's now a fit, happy, competitive triathlete and an inspiration to many people, myself included. This interview is going to hit home and inspire and impact so many of you. We talk a lot about mindset. We talk a lot about temptation and how you deal with, you know, falling off track, how you deal with fitting in fitness when you work a busy schedule, how you make it a priority, and how you rely on surrounding yourself with backup, you know, a backup plan, people that support you. So I think you'll relate to Dutch. He's got a great personality. And please let us know what you think of the show. If you have any questions for us or for Dutch when he's back on the show, let us know in the comments on Fitfluential Radio. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and I'm bringing you this interview today with, and I know I've said this before, but there are people that I call my favorite people. Dutch DeGay is one of those people, and after you listen to this interview, you'll understand why. Welcome to the show, Dutch.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited for people to get to know you. You have such a great, and I think we have actually a bit of your transformation story up already on fitfluential.com. So people will make sure that we link up to that in the show notes on Fitfluential Radio. But you are somebody that has a pretty inspirational, I'm going to call it pretty inspirational, and just very, you're very matter of fact when you tell it, kind of a cut the crap kind of a guy weight loss story. And I think it's important because it's not like this 30-day transformation. It's not like, oh, I just took this pill and I'm better. It's a real life, real person transformation story. Tell us how you first got healthy, how you first lost weight, and then how that kind of propelled you into staying healthy for life.
Well, I mean, I certainly want to say that if there was a pill that we could all take, we would all be muscle and fitness cover models, because I'd like to get a piece of that pill myself. But I think that the biggest issue was, I mean, originally, I consider myself very lucky. I was an athletic young guy. I joined the Army, had the pleasure of serving in the U.S. Army Ranger Regiment, and unfortunately had a career-ending injury that made me leave the service. I broke my back and broke my pelvis. That is not uncommon with most people. They suffer some type of traumatic injury. I, like everybody else, found that on top of the traumatic injury and the change in job and lifestyle, that food was a luxury that allowed me kind of an escape from the world, that if I couldn't train and I wasn't happy in life, I could certainly enjoy food, and I enjoyed a lot of it, up to the point where I packed on about 90 pounds on my existing frame, which is 5'10". So I got up to about 255 pounds. And really the impetus was looking at myself in the mirror and not recognizing the person in the mirror anymore. And as much as I would love to say that we're a society that we don't care about how people look and what they look like with their clothes off, that is incorrect. And you know, I have friends who were very athletic, who looked at me, who was like, you know, hey, are you doing okay? 'Cause you're fat.
I'm sorry.
And it's funny because we have gotten away from this matter of fact dealing with ourselves, that we look at people and I'm as big a violator as anybody else. You know, I looked in the mirror and said, nah, it's not that much weight. And over time, when you see yourself blossom into a much larger person, you're not so cognizant of it. So I had people in my life that, you know, didn't see me for an amount of time and came back and went, you know, hey, is everything okay? I've never seen you this heavy. You know, I know that you're hurt. You know, and I had a few people offer to help, which I have tried to do since then to other people from myself. But that was the impetus to kind of to get myself back on track. And then I had a very good friend who was experiencing their own weight loss issues and wanted to train for a 5K and was like, hey, I'll help you train. And I started running again, and I forgot how enjoyable running and training was and what a break it was from, you know, job, personal life, all the bad stuff. To give me that kind of euphoric feeling after a run. And I went and did a 5K race and was like, oh my God, I can't believe I haven't been doing this. I need to get back on track. And then unfortunately, with most people, I turn to the very quick short answer pills, for lack of a better term, because that was when ephedra was back on the market, and thought, hey, this will be a quick, easy fix. And I dropped about 80 pounds very quickly over the span of a heavy dose of ephedra and working my butt off in the gym and on the road, and had that pleasure of, oh my God, I'm thin again. Everything's fine. I don't have to do anything. And where I might have dropped the weight, I hadn't trained my brain. And I thought, okay, I'm where I'm at, where I need to be. Maintenance, I don't need to go to the gym every day. I can skip 2, 3, 4 days and I can have that entire German chocolate cake or that 7-course meal. And I found myself right back where I was, plus about 15 pounds. And realized that, you know, this was going to be a, you know, I hate to quote all this stereotypical thing. This was going to be a marathon, not a foot race. And I needed to look long term and set achievable goals, 30, 60, 90, 120 days. And I needed to modify my diet. And most importantly, I needed to modify my brain to understand that it is going to take time to see true results. And it will take time to see results over time that I can manage and have, and something that I can come back as kind of a touch point and put myself looking at marks on the wall to understand where I am and where I want to go. And too often we lose that, especially people that want to get fit or people that are in the sports industry. They look at it as, you know, I only want to look at tomorrow. And look, I'm a big supporter of, you know, wanting to look like somebody or be like somebody. You have to have a mark on the wall. I do not subscribe to the, you know, the only person you're competing against is yourself. And I say that because when I was competing against myself, I was sedentary and 255 pounds. By putting a mark on the wall and having something that was achievable, or at least I thought was achievable, that gave me something to come back to every day to say, this is where I want to be. Now, at the end state, if I don't look exactly like that, or I'm not as fast as that, or I'm not as capable as that, that's fine. But to have that mark on the wall to come back again and again and again, and then to look back on where you were out and say, hey, I may not be, you know, I may not have a six pack today, but I used to have a keg and now I have a 2-ish, 4-ish pack, and hopefully I'll have a 6-pack. And for triathletes, which is what I am, you know, those are marks that are on the wall. How fast can you swim 100, a 500, 1,000? How fast can you run a mile? How fast can you bike a mile or 20 miles? Those kinds of things that are marks on the wall. And you slowly train your brain to understand that's where you're going to go. And it's impossible to get it overnight, and it's impossible to get it over 4 weeks. I mean, it's a lifelong thing that you're ever improving and ever evolving. And if you don't look at it like that, you're setting yourself up for failure, because you're putting all your eggs in that there will be a quick fix basket. And there is no such thing. It is a lifelong goal to make yourself healthy for not only yourself, but those people that are around you. And if you can continue to do that through your life, it helps.
Today's FitFluential Radio episode is sponsored by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and many more. 56% of Health IQ customers save up to 33% on their life insurance policies, and these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Health IQ can save their customers this much because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. To get your free quote today, mention the promo code FITFLUENTIAL when you talk to a Health IQ agent. God, you said so many things there that I want to touch on, and it was brilliant. But before I touch on a couple of those, I do want to be extremely serious and say thank you to you for serving your country. And we're going to be having a lot of men and women from the armed forces on the show. And we certainly want everybody to stand behind our troops and support our troops and realize that there are men and women out there kicking ass every day to protect us and serve us. And I don't think it gets nearly enough attention. So I sincerely thank you for serving your country. That is no small side feat. And we certainly hope to call more attention to the great men and women that do that. I know I sounded a little overly patriotic there, but it's sincere. So thank you for that. I love what you brought up about this is a long-term thing. You know, you're going to have your ebbs and flows, but, and I always use myself, you know, Dutch, you and I are dear friends. We often, quite frankly, for everybody that's listening, the number of times I've texted Dutch when I'm having like a meltdown, I feel so fat. I can't believe it. I'm so frustrated. My thyroid this and my blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, because what I love about Dutch on many levels is both of us are kind of like, no crap. Like, let's just get real. Yeah, we like to eat donuts. Yeah, we like to, we just like to eat. And so we're not going to be that person who's like, I just changed my diet and I just don't crave sweets. I don't ever want to have pizza. Everything's just simple. And I just like to eat nothing but plain chicken. Like, no, we have cravings. We also are very real with each other and with the people that follow us that, you know, yeah, we want to live healthy and be healthy. And it's about longevity, but there's nothing wrong with, you know, in your case, wanting a six pack or whether somebody wants an eight pack or whatever. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look great. I mean, that's a big part of it for me. I want to look as good as I possibly can. I want to feel good. And now it's probably becoming more important to me. I do want to function. I like to be outdoors more and I want to not be limited by health issues, but there is absolutely nothing wrong. And I love your authenticity. You're authentic on social media. That's a word that's very much thrown around, whether it's in business for social media marketing and advertising, or whether it's just in social media. We talk about being your authentic self and being true, but you're very authentic. And one of the things that you and I joke about, but I think it's worth bringing up here, is I saw a post you put up one time and you talked about how passionate you are about losing weight and that, you know, you fall down, but you get yourself back on track. And you were kind of like, cut the crap, people. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. You don't really have the excuse to not dedicate yourself to your health. And somebody, one of your friends or one of your followers, you know where I'm going with this, Dutch. They were like, I cannot get over how much you're bullying people. And the word bullying and shaming is something that comes into a lot of conversation. And I believe it's overused. It allows people to just whine and use excuses and cradle the excuses and feed the excuses like a little baby with a bottle. Like, hold on, don't bully me. Don't shame me. And I cry BS on that. And so when I saw that guy who said to you that because you're telling people like, look, you can be healthy, it's work, but quit whining. You know, I work a 50-hour or 60-hour a week job, whatever it is, we all work hard, but you find time to fit in fitness into your busy schedule and you make it a priority and you love to eat, but you learn to balance your eating so you can indulge on the things you want, you know, have cheeseburgers and German chocolate cake and beer whenever you want it, but also, you know, eat what you need to fuel your performance. And when that guy or girl, I don't remember who it was like, oh my God, you're bullying me. Is that something you, number one, deal with a lot? You know, people say you're shaming them or bullying them. And give us your opinion on that, because personally, I think it's BS. I think we're far too delicate in worrying about hurting people's feelings. And I don't think that's a bad thing to encourage people to be healthy. Look what we're doing on the podcast. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I unfortunately do get that a lot. And what's really funny to me is not only do I get told that I'm bullying people or shaming people when people go, well, I don't have enough time. You know, I really love the fact that, look, I'm a divorcee. I have no kids. And people seem to think that because I don't have a wife and kids, I have this luxury of time that everybody else doesn't have. So because of that, of course I can be fit and go to the gym because I don't have all the things that weigh individuals down from accomplishing their goals, whether it be, you know, whether it's their personal things they want to do or whether it's being fit. And I'm the first one to throw the BS flag on that. There are plenty of professionals and semi-professionals, triathletes that I deal with every day that are married, have 1, 2, 3, 4 kids, and still find the time to train and be an elite level athlete. And you know this better than anybody, Kelly. I'm the first person to say there's 24 hours in the day. You don't have to go to the gym and put in 5 hours a day like The Rock and eat 6,000 calories. But if you're sitting at home in front of the television, rather than sitting and watching the television, you can actually do push-ups and sit-ups in front of the television while you're watching TV. You have to make the mental effort to say this is a priority. And what I think is so interesting is in people that I deal with day in and day out talk about how they're exhausted all the time and they don't have time to do this and they don't have time to do that. Well, that's because you haven't sat down and said, first off, I have to, and it's funny because I get called selfish about this all the time. The first thing you have to do is sit down and go, okay, I'm going to take care of me first. And if I am healthy and happy and feel good, that is going to make its way into the rest of my life, my relationships, my wife, husband, kids, partner, all that stuff. For some reason, we have gotten to this point where everyone kind of goes, oh, I have to forsake myself and be miserable and eat when I can and eat garbage because I have to take care of others. When, once again, we talk about the marathon thing. Okay, that's fine. But if you have a massive heart attack when you're 45 or 50 because you're 50 pounds overweight or, you know, they've got to scoop the fat out of the inside of your arteries with a shovel, that doesn't do you any good. I mean, and look, and make no bones about it. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I was in a terrible marriage. I wasn't happy with my job. I found the fun of eating and I sat around and blew up to 255 pounds. I certainly don't suggest everybody do that, but that was a heck of a learning lesson to go, okay, there was a time when I was in the Ranger Regiment that I pinched out at about 5% body fat and I was running a sub-6-minute mile and I could go all day. And that isn't a young man's thing. And that's another thing, certainly, Kelly, that you know of in dealing with me. I'm hypersensitive to the age thing because people look at me and don't think I look 44, but I am 44. And I have my peers that go, well, I'm in my 40s. There's no way I can do that.
Right.
There are competitive bodybuilders in their 60s that put 20-year-olds to shame. Or come to any of my triathlons and watch me toe the line with men that are 20 years older than me and they have 12 packs and I don't. You know, it's the, and I couldn't agree with you more, Kelly. We have gotten to this kind of softballing of bad news kind of thing. And I was just as guilty of it as anybody because I said, hey, I don't have to be physically fit in order to do my job. It's my brain, not my body. I'm in a white collar 9-to-5, 9-to-6 job now. I don't need to be physically fit. But at the end of the day, if I am physically fit, I have better mental acuity. I sleep better. I rest. I recover better. I can do more stuff along those lines that not only give me better job performance, but give me better quality of life in dealing with loved ones or my kids or my family or whatever the case may be. I think one of the biggest issues is, and I say this to everybody, when I went to my, I have a team of doctors that take care of me because I've broken myself a lot over the years. I'm staring my, I think it's my 12th surgery. I have to have reconstructive hip surgery in about a month. My spine doc, who looked at me and when I was that weight and said, you know, hey, I need to get thin, what can you do for me? And he goes, you can stop eating and you can start working out. That's what I can do for you because you're fat. You're fat and there's nothing I can do that's going to make that better. The reason why you're in so much pain from a broken back and the result of a broken back and broken pelvis is you're carrying around an extra 80 pounds. There's nothing I can do for that. Quit being fat. Okay. And look, medical professionals, medical professionals don't have a tendency to do that. They look at you and say, well, what kind of drugs can I put you on? Or, you know, this, that. At the end of the day, there is no better effective body than a fit one. And you see it in, and my job now is I work with soldiers on the civilian side to see you, to see biomechanically how those soldiers perform, physiologically how they perform. Is when you are a thin, fit you are optimizing your body for work. And when I say fat, I don't mean you know, the spare, you know, that I can pinch more than an inch or any of that kind of stuff. We're talking, you know, 30, 40, 50 plus pounds overweight. You are stressing your body. You are stressing your organs. And if we had people that looked us in the face and said, I'm coming from a position of, I love and care about you. I'm concerned about your weight and its effect that it's having on you. What can we do to make you better? That is not shaming. When you point your finger at somebody and say that you're fat and you deride them and you walk away from them and you abandon them mentally and emotionally, that is what shaming is.
Right. Right. There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference. I mean, there is, and I deal with it with friends in my everyday life. If I come to you and I put my hand on your shoulder and say, I am concerned, you don't seem happy. I've noticed that you've put on 20, 30, 40 pounds. I know it's not good for you. I came from a place like that. What can I do to help you? What can we do together? That is my responsibility as somebody who cares about you. And if you tell me to go pound sand, then okay. I did my due diligence and good luck with that. But don't tell me that you're too tired to do X or you don't have enough time because you haven't made yourself a priority. And you are only setting yourself up for failure for the long term for that. I think that's the problem with what we really what we have in the industry is there's this weird dichotomy. There's this group of people that are trying to be fit, that struggle every day to be fit, and we're bombarded with these people who are really on the other end of the spectrum that are hyper fit and they're trying to maintain that level. And you go, oh my God, I'm never going to get there. Well, that's the reason why in my social media and on my blog, I put up pictures of what I looked like at 255 pounds. And it took me 2+ years to get down to 170. And right now I'm probably about 190, 195 because I can't run because of a bicycle crash at an Ironman race that come to find out I tore my labrum and I fractured my pelvis and fractured my femur and running is very difficult for me. And I've decided to get into the gym and lift since I can't really run or do extensive cardio, but I'm trying to be the best I can be and I'm working to stay fit. So, you know, I look different at 195 pounds than I did at 168 because I'm lifting heavy and I'm not training, but it's the end state. Yeah, I'm not going to run a sub-6-minute mile, but I am fit. And when I say I look good, I'm not thumping my chest as in I'm some handsome, dapper guy. I mean, I look good in that I still am physically fit and I'm nowhere near that 255 pound guy I was.
You just said a couple of things and I have to I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you early, but you're used to it. When he just said a sub-6-minute mile, I just want to put this out there because I think it's amazing, but it was also seriously a good lesson for me to learn. I started running about 3 years ago and I call myself a very casual runner. I'm not one of those people that is motivated by marathons. I'm not that girl. I don't like to be, you know, I have to train on this many times, this many weeks and whatever, but I do. I've always, once I figured out how to do it with breathing, that was my challenge, was figuring out how to breathe, which also is something very important for life. You know, I realized why I would get out of breath when I was doing public speaking engagements with breathing from my upper chest versus belly breathing. And when you learn that, so just a segue, we'll talk a lot about breathing on the show. That's important for fitness and for life. But I remember when I started running and I felt so powerful. I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm doing 5 miles an hour. And Dutch would put something up on social media and I would do the math. I'm like, what are you, Bugs Bunny or Wile E. Coyote? And I kept thinking here I am, I've got my Nickelback playing and yeah, I don't care. I'm going to get a lot of haters. Kelly Alexa likes Nickelback, get over it. But if my Nickelback song would come on and I'd power through and I'd look at my heart rate monitor, I'd be like, oh my God, I just hit 6 miles an hour. I'm sprinting. And then I would see what Dutch put on social media. I'm like, what? Well, there were certain expletives that came out of my mouth, but I'm like, for a moment I thought I suck. I'm nowhere near what Dutch is doing. But that, as much as I'm joking about this, and I'm still blown away by people like you, and we have so many marathoners and triathletes in Fitfluential in the community. But I'm blown away by how good you guys are. But I had to learn, because you were the one. You're like, I have been training for X amount of years. That's not normal. And you do, even though, you know, yeah, a lot of the things that we say on the show can sound cliche, but you have to stop comparing yourself to other people. I, early on, And I am going tying this down to a question, Dutch. Don't worry.
Okay.
Early on, like I would compare how much weight I was lifting versus my friends that I would see on social media. And I would compare, I have a friend, Krissa, and she was doing 30-pound overhead presses. I've always wanted to really develop my shoulders. And I'm like, I'm only doing 15 pounds. I got to get up to 30. Like, it had nothing to do with the fact that I was actually developing a tremendous amount of strength, excuse me. And, you know, the nice definition in my delts, I was like, I have to do what Krissa's doing, which is really ridiculous. So my question to you is, can you speak a little bit to, you gotta like just be on your own individual path. You're not supposed to, as a runner, compare how fast you are to the guy next to you. And when you're lifting weights, you lift to strengthen your body and to challenge your body. And 5 pounds might strengthen that woman, but you know, it could be 30 pounds for the other, and they're not supposed to be in a race. And that's very legitimate for people to understand. You got to be on your own path, and everyone's unique. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I think what happens more often than not is, you know, you see a goal that isn't truly thought out for whatever case it may be, whether you want to run a sub 6 minute mile or you want to, you know, you see somebody in the gym pushing 225 pounds or something like that, and you think that's what I have to do. And that's just naturally, what I think is just so interesting is naturally we as human beings, that's just what we think, like, and that makes sense. But if you took a step back and reasoned and went, well, I don't know anything about this person. I don't know how long they've been training. I don't know, you know, what kind of support training they've done. 'Cause you just don't go run, you know, 10 miles a week and go, okay, I'm going to be a sub 6 minute miler now. You don't know the investment in time that it takes in order to get to that place. So, you know, it's always the big picture. And look, we as a whole are traditionally microscopic, in that we want to look at that little short thing and say, well, the guy, and look, I'm a guy, we all live on ego. We all go to the gym and I see some muscle hound throwing around monster weight. And I go, oh, dude, yeah, I'm going to do that with no training and no build up to that. That either means A, you can't get out of bed tomorrow. B, you break something and you end up in the hospital. Or C, you do so much damage to yourself mentally that you couldn't do that, that you just don't get out of bed the next morning and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. So that's why I always talk about, you know, interim goals, short, medium, and long term. And that's what will, you know, if you can't bench 225 pounds today, okay, well, what can you bench? Well, let's start deducting the weight and let's see what we can do with reps. And at 30 days, I want to bench 10 more pounds than I currently do. At 60 days, 20 more. At 90 days, maybe 25 or 30 more. And how does that build in order to get there? And I think that seeing other people and being motivated by them is fantastic, because look, there wouldn't be Muscle and Fitness magazine, and there wouldn't be Runner's World or Triathlete mag, those magazines wouldn't exist if for nothing else than to show us ways to train and show people that we want to either look like or be like or exercise like. But the understanding is that is an ever evolving goal, and that if you don't have a 12-pack today, if you don't currently run a 6-minute mile, if you don't currently bench 225 pounds, tomorrow you're not going to have a 12-pack, you're not going to run a sub 6-minute mile, and you're not going to put up 225 pounds. I mean, it's the ability of understanding, and that's why I really talk about the mental challenge, and that was something I had to learn, in that you have to train your brain as much as you have to train your body. And first off, understand that being destructive to yourself and saying, I can't do that, I suck, is as bad as not going to the gym and training anyway. You have to be able to understand and appreciate the work that you've done to build you to that end state goal, and then reward yourself. And I don't mean reward yourself as a trip to Dunkin' Donuts and having a dozen donuts, as much as I would love that to be a reward for almost everything I do. The reward to sit down, and it could be something as simple as taking a picture of yourself at 30, 60, 90 days, or running a logbook as to, you know, what did I lift today, and what did I lift 6 weeks ago, and what did I lift, you know, 12 weeks ago, and see that incremental change and take a deep breath and go, okay, I am working toward a goal. Look at the work I've done thus far and look at the positive change. I feel better, look better, I'm stronger, whatever the case may be. And then go, I'm proud of myself for doing that. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to now go, okay, I've checked the mark and I'm going to sit on the sofa and have that dozen donuts. But I'm going to be proud of where I am, and it is a positive mental attitude that will continue to move you forward. I mean, look, I came from the Army, and the Army environment is you're a piece of garbage and we're going to tear you down and you're no good. And that works in that setting, but unless you live in that setting, it is very difficult to overcome the negative mindset we create for ourselves on a daily basis to then go, I need to appreciate where I'm at. And I'm as bad as anybody. And if you go to my social media, you know, I am a sub 6 minute mile guy, and I've had injury, whether it was heart issues that I spent three or four months with heart doctors trying to figure out why I had a tachycardia, whether it was a broken ankle from me being silly, or me now of, you know, the damage in the hip that now is requiring surgery, of me going, you know what, I was a minute slower than I was before the injury. God, I suck. And people get on to me about that. That's what I use to motivate myself. But subsequently, I realized that all I'm doing is setting myself up for failure when I talk to myself like that. It's a, you know what, you weren't where you were, but you can't be. It's a building process, and you have to come back. And you have to understand that you're going to be there one day, but you're going to work positively toward that every day. And too often, you know, we get that microscopic look and we just go, well, I want to look like that guy or girl, you know. And look, I say that as a guy, there are female fitfluential athletes that I'd kill to have their body, for God's sake. They're sporting, you know, six packs, eight packs. They're pinching out at 9% body fat. They look fantastic. Triathletes, swimmers, figure competitors that, you know, I look at myself in the mirror and go, Jesus, you're a fat kid. You need to go do some work. So, you know, it's not limited to gender. It's not limited to age. It's not, you know, it's not limited to how or where you work out or what type of training you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just can't berate yourself and set that negative mindset of, I'm never going to look like that person, or it's impossible to look like that person, because that person does so much work in order to look like that, that you have no idea how they're sitting around and counting calories to make sure they're hitting their macros and their micros. You have no idea how many hours they're spending in the gym. And too often we just kind of forget about that, and we go, oh my God, I'm over 40 and I have a wife and three kids, or a 60-hour a week job. There's no way in the world I can do it. And we kill ourselves before we even get started.
God bless America. I'm so glad you just said that. That is like what you just said, that last sentence. We kill ourselves before we even get started. I absolutely agree. And that can be within the bullying and the shaming. You know, people will see something. Remember Maria Kang? We got to get her on the show. You know, she put something out and all of a sudden all these women are like, oh my God, doesn't she know I'm a mother? It's like, it's not about shaming. It's like, I think most people, and yeah, there are douchebags everywhere, but most people that are sharing, you know, our journey on social, and we want the best for other people. It's not about, I'm better than you and I think you are a waste of flesh and I want to, you know, I just want you off the face of the earth. It's wanting the best for other people. When you start changing yourself, you, and you know, you feel better and you can sleep better and you can, you know, your relationships are better. I know one of our guys that we're going to have on the show, Jesus Segura, you know, he's lost, I think, 100 pounds. He still has, you know, at least another to go from what he told me. But I remember he wrote us and he's like, I can play with my kids. You know, for him, it was not about, you know, I want to look like my trainer. He does. But he's like, I have always had to sit back and watch my kids play. And now I can play with my kids because I can move. So, you know, I'm going to say, yes, again, there's some elitists out there that probably have a bad attitude and they're narcissistic. That's true in any segment of life. Okay. But don't use excuses as a reason to not get started. And you said so many juicy bits there that I had like a fist pump going over here in Austin, all the way to you in Boston, Austin to Boston, fist pump. But you just spoke on so many things. Age, don't quit before you get started. And when you brought up magazines, you know, I always think about people listening to this podcast and I think about the misconceptions I had. I would look at Oxygen Magazine and Muscle and Fitness Hers, and these are great publications. But I did not understand that when Jamie Eason or, you know, Aaron or whoever it was on the cover of those magazines, that they're typically 4 weeks out from competition. And the average person doesn't have an understanding of what competition is. You know, they might be thinking, oh, I'd like to compete in bikini or whatever. Those people have been hardcore dieting, like hardcore scientific, down to like the precise micronutrient, like anal training and nutrition. And when you compete on stage, this is just a fact. Like, they have taken out water. They're taking diuretics. There's all of these things they're doing to scientifically manipulate their body so it looks good on stage for 30 seconds. And when they get off stage and they have a glass of water, I mean, they're gaining 5-10 pounds. When they have a piece of bread, all of a sudden everything changes in the dynamics of their bodies. But your average consumer doesn't know that. And so that, yet, just like you said, they're trying to look like something that is impossible. That's the fitness version of it. We can say the same things for men's magazines and women's magazines. They're using 13-year-old models that are airbrushed and photoshopped to sell, you know, eye cream from, you know, this brand or that brand. Don't even get me started on that. But please have an awareness that you can, at any age, like Dutch said, you know, it has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with, you don't need 17 hours to get fit. Dutch, you mentioned your age, and ladies out there, I'm just going to put this out there. You heard that he's a divorcee. I love that word. It's very French sounding. I'm just going to put this out there, that Dutch was one of our original influential male ambassadors. He knows I'm going to totally embarrass him right now. But I remember, like, I had been tweeting back and forth. We'd been tweeting back and forth, and he would always say, I'm like one of the first man back. Ambassadors, that's what we called him. And I looked him up because I was going to Boston for a meeting with a client. And we were going to hang out. And I went on your, like, we friended each other on Facebook. He's rather mantastic, ladies. I mean, he could be Monday Manjoyment on any number of, he's got a beard going. So the facial hair thing is spot on. He has, you know, I always encourage him to wear earrings because I'm a fan of earrings on guys. Sometimes he like cuts that up with an argyle. So it's like, I'm confused. It's like rogue Dutch, but then there's, you know, the argyle and the conservative. But all that saying, you know, if you're in Boston, you need to look him up, and you know, I'm sure that he might meet you for coffee or donuts or whatever.
You're
but anyway,
kind.
I know that you're completely red and I've embarrassed you, but we're getting near the end of the show, and I need to go do I have a couple triathlons this afternoon myself. So
you're going over to a Tactical Fit Austin, right?
Yes, actually. And then I'm going to, you know, swim a couple thousand miles.
Sure.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to swim from Texas to Boston, and then I'll be back by 6 o'clock tonight. So, I've really got a busy schedule. Clearly I'm joking. But you know, you said so many things, Dutch, and one of the things I'd like to wrap up with, let me just check. Yeah. We're going to wrap up with this question is,
okay.
You've been very, You've made so many salient points today. You know, you talked about you've got to be in this for the long term. Don't compare yourselves to others. But one of the things you brought up is, you know, mindset, negative mindset.
Yep.
And I think it's important for everybody listening. You know, Dutch is like a man's man. I'm, you know, is about as transparent and real as possible. But like the negative mindset thing, it's not just like an Oprah and Deepak kind of a thing for the spiritual. This is real. You know, the negative self-talk can destroy you. And it happens to all of us. So one of the biggest myths about, and I'm using air quotes, fit people or healthy people is once you get started on a journey, like I get these questions and I know you've heard them all the time. Well, it comes natural to him. You know, well, he's already fit, so it's easy. Like there's that mindset that you just become a fit person and it's never challenging. You never want to go off on a bender. You never get down. You never doubt yourself. All of these things happen to all of us and they happen on an ongoing basis. And like you said, Dutch, the mind is a key thing that you have to keep in shape, which is almost more important. You have to almost do more work on the mind than the body.
Absolutely.
How do you stay accountable? Because I know for me, it's staying accountable with friends like you that I can text and go, I am huge. I feel disgusting. I'm so frustrated. My hypothyroid. What is it for you that keeps you, you know, who do you turn to? Is it social media? Is it friends that help you, you know, snap out of it when you have that bad mindset?
Well, first off, I need to clarify this, that you keep saying that you text me saying that you're fat and you look terrible. Those are two-way texts. I text you and say the same thing about myself. So I don't want people to think that I'm Kelly's guru, that she's coming to me and I have all these answers. I don't have any. I call her or text her and say, today's a fat day, or I just ate a whole German chocolate cake. Please make me feel better about myself. You know, for me, that has probably been one of the greatest advantages of social media. So, I am a 44-year-old guy. I say divorcee so people don't think I'm crazy and they just don't go, oh, you're 44 and you've never been married. What's wrong with you? I mean, there's tons wrong with me, but I'm not crazy. And when you talk about the time, and you know this, Kelly, I'm a guy, I'm in the gym at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, just because that's when I can find time to fit in my day. And if it weren't for social media, I don't think I would have that support network to kind of fall back on. I mean, we all want to think that we're strong and we can do it by ourselves. But look, if you're the one fit person, you sit around a bunch of people that love to drink beer, drink wine, and eat like tomorrow's the apocalypse, it's going to be very difficult for you to stay focused on eating a proper and correct amount of food during the day and not overindulging or imbibing or whatever the case may be. So for me, it really is social media. I mean, I have a group of folks that I compete with in the region, some of which I call friends, but social media has allowed me to develop relationships with folks that arguably are up when I'm up, because when I'm up at midnight, folks on the West Coast, it's only 6 o'clock, or excuse me, I do the time difference. It's 9 o'clock on the West Coast. So I have friends that I can lean on and say, you know, I'm having trouble with X lift, or I'm doing this, or it's a bad day. And that's probably been one of the best advantages of social media, is to allow me relationships with other athletes. And I say athletes in air quotes. We're all athletes. If you do anything athletic, you're an athlete. It's not
right.
I'm just a normal guy trying to, you know, do well at whatever it is that I'm doing. I don't consider myself an athlete like we watched last night in the World Series or anything. But
I'm a supreme athlete, Dutch. I don't know about you, but Olympians come to me for advice.
I'm going to put supreme athlete on my business card. I'm going to get a business card. And then when I get a business card, I'm going to put supreme athlete on it. But the ability to have that network, I think, is huge. I mean, I hold myself accountable and I beat myself up. And it was something I had to train myself to do. You know, fitness is a habit. It sucks. When you take time off or you're just getting started, you're sore, you're hungry, you're tired, you don't want to do it. The goal is to do it so often that it becomes habit. And we, by nature as human beings, we're just lazy. I mean, myself included, if I could stay fit laying on the couch, binge watching Netflix, I would be the fittest person on the planet, but it just doesn't work that way.
So I have been
very lucky to reach out to other people. And through my social media and through my interactions with companies that sponsor me, Fitfluential included, is that I have developed great relationships with athletes, with professional athletes who check in on me to see how I'm doing, or I'm very lucky, you know, to get a phone call to ask me how I'm doing, or see a post that I put up and say, hey, you're doing great. I can't believe you've done that. That's unbelievably motivating. And I go to the printer and print it off and cut it out and stick it on my mirror in my bathroom when I get up every morning to go see it, as a motivational tool. And it doesn't matter what you use to motivate yourself. It's only that you motivate yourself. Because once you build that habit, you don't think twice of, I'm home, I need to go work out for an hour, hour and a half, and then I can do the rest of my day. Or I'm up, I need to go work out now, and then I can get the rest of my day. In order to develop that kind of mentality, and it helps. And I try to be supportive of people that reach out to me and say, hey, you did a great job today. And it's not placating. It's, if any day that you spend not on the couch all day is a great day. If you can get out and train, and you have to be in the positive mental space to see that and continue to build on that. And if you have a bunch of those days where you're not on the couch and you're out training and trying to be a better you, then you will notice a change over time.
So true. I mean, this is like, we need to have a coffee cup made with several of these Dutch DeGay quotes. It was awesome. No, but in all seriousness, I kid you, but you said so much great stuff. I love that you talk about a lot of things that people sometimes assume are just women things, you know, negative mindset. You know, ultimately, I hope everybody got a lot from this show. I know they will. And it's going to be great for you. In just a second, I want you to tell everybody where they can follow you on social media. But, you know, again, just for those of you I'm so passionate about this. When you're just starting your health journey, if you haven't started your health and fitness journey, you know, again, just be real and know you're going to have ups and downs, but that's what community is for. And that's why we're bringing you this show. That's why we're bringing you people like Dutch, because we all keep each other going. You know, I mean, Kevin and Stevie, Kevin, my co-host on the show, and his wife, the amount of times they have to smack me, virtually speaking, upside the head and go, snap out of it, is, I can't even count. But those are the types of people that we need in our lives. So Dutch, tell people where they can, what are your handles on social media so they can follow you and stalk you? And maybe, you know, some women might ask you out there as well.
you kill me. So my handle pretty much on all social media is Ranger Dutch, RangerDutch on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on Facebook as Dutch DeGay. And then my blog, which is Fueled by Iron, is fueledbyiron.blogger. I'm on Blogger. So if you just do a Fueled by Iron search, you'll find my blog. And I certainly want to, I encourage people to go and look at it, not just because I hope that somebody can learn something from my success or lack of success, but my social media feeds, I hope, show the fact that I'm not this guy that's in the gym die hard 8 hours a day that, you know, is lift more muscle or lift more metal, drink more water. You know, I have a life. I mean, I like to get out. I put pictures of food. I'm a chef. I like to cook. I'm a cook. I'm not a chef. I'm a cook. I like to make food. I'm trying to get back into competitive shooting. I have that whole side of my life. I'm an artist. I mean, it is all about balance. So this fitness journey should be, I try to explain to people that fitness piece is a pillar in your life, but only a pillar, not the pillar. You need to use it as part of the foundation that makes you a better you. So you need to kind of diversify your life portfolio. So it is one facet of me, but there's all these other pieces. And too often people get so focused on fitness that they're like, well, if I'm not working out and I'm not counting calories, I suck. No, you need to use your brain and go read books, and you need to get out and enjoy life. And walking up the side of the mountain is just as good as getting in the gym and running on a treadmill for 45 minutes. To understand that kind of life balance. And that's what I try to get out in my social media. And it's not just my social media. Anybody that knows me, Kelly, can attest. I'm really like this all the time. There is no airs. I'm flawed. I'm broken. I push myself too hard. I break myself. I'm very hard on myself. And then I try to recover. And if I can do that and get back on track and end up on the podium at a triathlon or do well at a competition, I mean, I say it all the time. If I can get my fat butt off the couch and do it, then anybody should be able to, because I'm lazy and I just want to sit home and eat cake.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. Cake is a good thing. That's mm-hmm. That's a perfect way to end the show. Let's just end the show on the cake note.
Excellent.
But in all seriousness, I hope you guys, you know, will have links to all of this in the show notes. Dutch, you've been an extraordinary guest. You're a dear friend. I just know a lot of people are going to fall in love with you and your story. And I'm excited that you were able to make time for this today. So everybody, hope you enjoyed the episode. We'd love to hear if you have questions for Dutch. He'll be doing a Twitter chat with us in the future. So we'd love to hear if you have questions for Dutch on fitfluentialradio.com or if you leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We do read them all and we will get back to you. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Bye guys.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.